Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Samech. We are on Nun Tesamid Beis. We are about two thirds of the way down at the two dafs. We're starting this morning with the words Vayisro Sharam Vaharehi. We are towards the end of the fifth parak of Erevin. We're going to be finishing up in Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow. The fifth parak dedicated itself to the topic of Erev Tchum. It is now the third parak here in the Masechta in which we're dealing with the topic of Erev Tchum. Back in the third parak already, we started the discussion. Third parak. Mostly dedicated with setting up a new Erev Tchum, either by moving to the new location during Ben Hashmashos or putting down food. Fourth parak talked about what happens when a person is taken out of his Tchum and what becomes the consequence then. And the fifth parak is a parak dedicated to the measuring of the city border and the measurement of Tchum. So those are somewhat technical discussions regarding how exactly a city is going to be measured. How you're squaring the city, and then after squaring the city, you're going to be measuring Tchum. Yesterday, the Mishnah in the Testament Aleph took us on a bit of a detour. A curious Mishnah finds itself here in the fifth parak of Erevin, which touches on the topic of Eruv Echatzeros. This morning, we're going to be finishing up our topic of Eruv Echatzeros, finishing this Mishnah, which curiously found its way here in the fifth parak. And then we're going to go back to Eruv Tchum with the Mishnah coming up on the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph. And then, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we finish the perek. Okay, so as far as Erev Chatzeros is concerned, so yesterday we talked about a city and the requirement of an Irshal Rabim. If it's a public city, so under those circumstances, you cannot make one single Erev Chatzeros for the entire city. But rather, what you have to do is you have to build in an exclusion, a shiur. Shiur, here, shin. Yud Vav Resh. You have to build an exclusion into the city, and you cannot make a single Erev for an Irshal Rabim. Now, why should that be? Because you make a single Erev for an Irshal Rabim, so an Irshal Rabim typically has a Rishus Rabim going through it. That was Rashi back on the Mishnah. And you make a single Erev Chatzeros for an Irshal Rabim, so people are going to walk away with the erroneous impression that one can make an Erev through a Rishus Rabim. You can't make an Erev through a Rishus Rabim, as we already established. But that's the impression that you get. And so therefore, when making an Erev Chatzeros for an Irshal Rabim, so it has to be at least two Erevs set up. In other words, one for the majority, and then a group that's going to be excluded. At the end of today, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about that group that's going to be excluded. However, with notable exceptions, if it's an Irshal Yachid, if it's a city that does not have a Rishus Rabim going through it, right, that was Rashi back in the Mishnah, meaning Rashi's understanding of Nir Shal Yachid is that there are less than 600,000 people in that city, so then you don't have to make an exclusion. You can make a single Erev Chatzeros for everyone in the community. If it's a Nir Shal Yachid, that becomes a Nir Shal Rabim, so it has a grandfather clause, which means to say that despite the fact that the city population grew, but nevertheless, since principally it was Nir Shal Yachid, so it's grandfather clause in, and therefore you can continue to make one Erev for everyone in the community. Good. That was the mission that we saw yesterday. Then yesterday on the bottom of Nun Tesamid Aleph, we introduced ourselves to a Braisa that described an Irshal Yachid that becomes an Irshal Rabim. And we just went through some of the most basic halachas regarding that city. The Braisa yesterday talked about what happens if in fact it has a street running through it. What do you do under those circumstances? The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which we saw yesterday. Anyway, we're going to move right on to the second half of the Braisa, which we have yet to explore. Second half of the Braisa, you could see it again in just in terms of review on the bottom of Nun Tesamid Aleph, that last line, Haiso Sharabim Vaharei He Shel Rabim V'ein La Ela Pesach Echad Ma'arvin Eskula. So on the last part of the Braisa, it was an Irshal Rabim, and it does not have a street that goes all the way through, meaning that the street is a dead end, it's a cul-de-sac. And under those circumstances, now that it does not have an actual Rishus Rabim going through it, so you can make an Erev for everybody, one Erev for everybody. That is the end of the Braisa. So now, with that in mind, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday in the Gemara. And the Gemara now begins its discussion. Haiso Sharam Vaharehi V'chulei Rebbe Zera Arva Lamasa Debei Rebbe Chia. So Rebbe Zera made an Erev for the city of Rebbe Chia v'lo shavik lashir, and he didn't make any exclusion within the city, meaning he made one Erev Chatzeros for the entire city. So Amalei Abai Mai Tam Avin Mar Hachi. So Abai says to him, so Abai says to him, So why did you do that? So Amalei, Sabi Dida Amri Li Rav Chia Bar Asi Ma'ariv Kula. So he says, look, I know the city history. The elders of the city told me that Rav Chia Bar Asi made an Erev, made one Erev for everybody. So he says, okay, good. So now I deduce what is the history of the city. And that is that once upon a time it was an Irshal Yachid, and then it becomes an Irshal Rabim. In other words, it had a grandfather clause. And that's why one is allowed to make one singular Erev for everybody in the community. So Amar Lei, so he says back to him, you got the city history wrong. So Ela Li Didi Amar Li Anu Sabe. No, the elders told me. So he says, no, the reason why we made a single area for everybody is not because it was once upon a time in Yerushal Yachid. That's just simply not true. That's not historically true. But rather, it's because the main street that went through the city, so it wasn't flush on both sides. It didn't open up on both ends. But rather, it had a garbage pile, garbage dump on one end, meaning it was a cul-de-sac. And v'hashta d'apanya le'ashba havle kishnei psachim v'asir. But since then, you'll notice that there is no longer a cul-de-sac, but rather it's a street that runs straight through. And so therefore, this is an Irshel Rabim with a street running through it, open up on both ends, and therefore it's prohibited to make a single Erev for everyone in the community. So I'm a Leila Vadaite. So the response is, I didn't know. Okay, so I gotta brush up on my city history. I didn't know that. And obviously now that I know that, so now I'm going to not make one Erev for everyone in the community. Abamine Rav Ami Barada Harpana Mirava. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to move the discussion slightly over in the following. So we just learned together in the Braisa, and we just saw it play out in a dialogue, that if I have a city, even if it's an Irshal Rabim, but it is not a street runs all the way through, open up on both ends, but rather it is closed on one end, so under those circumstances, you can make a single Erev for everyone in the community, despite the fact that it's an Irshal Rabim. So the Gemara says, fine, what about the following? What if I have a ladder at the end of the cul-de-sac? Now that ladder allows people to climb up and to egress out that side. It's not the most convenient egress, but it definitely serves as an exit strategy. So what's the status of that ladder? Is that ladder now going to be turning the closed end halachically into an open end? That's the Gemara's question. Sula mikan pesach mikan mahu. I have an opening on one end and on the other end, which is closed, but I do have a ladder. And that ladder does allow for access for people to climb up and go over. So his response is that as far as Rav's position is concerned, a ladder is considered a Pesach. So that means to say that despite the fact that there's a wall there on the other end of the Rishus HaRabim, but because of the ladder, so and Rav says that a ladder has the status of a Pesach, so therefore it's going to be considered open-ended on the other side. And thereby, it's the Rishus HaRabim in an Irshal Rabim, so you can't make one single error for everybody. So Amlu Rav Nachman, Lo Tatzitza Leis, so Rav Nachman says, no, disregard, meaning that's not correct. So Hachi Amrav Ada Amrav, because he has another tradition that was said over in the name of Rav, and that's the following. Taras Sulam, Taras Pesach Alav, and Taras Mechitza Alav. That when it comes to a ladder, it's both. It's both Pesach and it's a Mechitza. Meaning that Halacha allows us to view a wall with a ladder in front of it in both ways, both as a Mechitza and as a Pesach, and it simply depends on the context. Taras Mechitza Alav Kedamara. Now, when do we get to look at it like a Mechitza in our situation, the one we're describing right now? Under those circumstances where there's a wall at the other end of the street, and even though, despite the fact that there's a ladder, but we're going to be able to look at that as a Mechitza, and therefore, you can make one single error for everybody in the community. Taras Pesach Alav. Now, as far as us looking at the ladder as the Pesach, so that's Besulim, Shebein Shei Chatzeros. We're going to see plenty of this coming up later in the Masechta, and that is when I have two Chatzeros that are next to one another, a wall separating the two. So if it's a wall separating the two, and there's no way that one Chatzer can go into the other Chatzer, so they can make separate Eruv Chatzeros, but they cannot make a joined Eruv Chatzeros. However, once there's a Pesach between the two Chatzeros, so then they can make, if they want to, they can opt into a single Eruv Chatzeros for the two Chatzeros. And if there's a ladder on the wall, they can also opt in as well. So that's a circumstance where we get to look at the ladder like a Pesach. So Ratzu Echad Ma'ar, Ratzu Shnai Ma'arvin. If they want, they can make one single Erev. If they want, they can make two separate Eruvim. But anyway, the ladder serves as a Pesach. So Rav Nachman now quoting his understanding of Rav, which is that a ladder It depends on what's going to be beneficial. If calling it a wall is beneficial, we'll call it a wall. If calling it a Pesach is beneficial, we'll call it a Pesach. So Mimar Rav Nachman, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to compare that, what we just learned, B'Shem Rav Nachman, based on another thing that was taught by Rav Nachman, that's the following. V'ham Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel, Anshei Chassav, Anshei Mir Pesach, Sheshachachu, V'lo Irvu. So, let's say I have the following. Now, here, if you have some sort of picture, it'd be very helpful, as this is a very visual case over here. So, in the absence of being able to show a picture, so take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. Diure alios muchazulazu. So you have various floors. You have a first floor, you have a second floor. And they're right next to one another. Upsuchos achatzar, they're open up to the same chatzar, says Rashi. Vosimir pesos alpane orech alios. Uposchen la piske kulam va'olam v'yardim derech sulam. Shel mir pesos lechatzar. Now, as far as the people living on a second floor, so they have a balcony, and that balcony has a ladder, and that ladder allows them access to the same chatzar as the people below. So basically what you're looking at are multiple groups opening up to the same chatzer. Now, Udrisus Ragleim, the Yitzhiya Samar Rishus HaRabim Derech HaChatzer, Havya. And as far as the chatzer is concerned, the chatzer opens up into Rishus HaRabim. Lefichach, im eina ma'arvim im hadiyur matachtonim, osrim elu al elu lo tzikli habatim lechatzer. Now, because these two groups open up to the same chatzer, now, how do they open up to the same chatzar? This becomes a critical point. They open up to the same chatzar because the people above have a balcony which has a ladder which goes down into the chatzar below that is shared by the people that live below. So it's the ladder that creates the connection. So we just learned together in the name of Nachman that we get to look at a ladder based on how it is most beneficial. Over here, looking at it like a Pesach is not beneficial. Because once we see it as a Pesach, so that means to say now that these two floors, first floor and second floor, are opening up to the same chatzer. And the only way they can make an Eruv is if they make a joint Eruv. And if they don't make a joint Eruv, so then nobody can carry. Even if only the first floor makes an Eruv, but without the second floor, so that is only part of the members of the chatzar making an Erev. That's not everybody making a chatzar. I'm sorry. Now, it's not everybody making an Erev. And so, therefore, they're oser ze al ze. And this is all based on the ladder. And the Gemara now is bothered because Rav Nachman said that we don't have to look at a ladder as a Pesach. Only if it serves us can we look at a ladder as a Pesach, but we don't have to. This is the question. So, let's see all this again inside. I'm going to start again from the bottom line. The only thing that could save this situation is only if you have that daka. Remember yesterday we touched on this briefly, and that is basically, it's a way of indicating that I'm not using this entrance. It's making a very small frame around that exit that goes to that heads to the ladder, that heads down into the chatzar. Right, so making this extraordinarily small frame, so that basically is a clear indication we're not heading that way. That's the only thing that would separate the two. Other than that, the two are connected. And the connection's built on a ladder, based on a ladder. And that obviously is a problem. So the Gemara says, okay, but hachab my skin, and it could very well be that case is unique and circumstantial. And what exactly is going on over there in that case? B'delo gavoa mirpesa sasara. So the case over there in question is where the balcony is above the first floor, but not directly above the first floor. And in fact, how high is it over the chatzer? It's not 10 tefachim over the chatzer. Being that it's not 10 tefachim over the chatzer, so this balcony cannot remove itself from the chatzer because it just simply is not high enough to be considered a separate status, a separate rishus from the actual chatzer. So the Gemara says, okay. V'ilo gavom mepresos sasara ki ka'avidaka mehave. So the Gemara says, fine. So now you're telling me that basically this balcony, we viewed it as being a story high above the chatzar. It's not a story high above the chatzar. It's not even 10 tefachim high above the chatzar. So the Gemara says, so now I'm not quite following. So what did you do? So right next to that ladder, and now we're looking at that ladder totally differently, by the way. It's not really a ladder. It's a couple of steps, if that. But anyway, so what we did is we put a daka. We put this small frame right in front of it, which basically says that we're not using it. What difference does it make? If the merpesis is less than 10 tefachim from the chatzer, So it's the same rishus, it's the same domain. So what difference does it make if you put a daka? So the Gemara says, my havi. So b'megufefes ad eser amos. So the Gemara's answer is, well, we're going to actually add a little bit more to this particular scenario. And that is that this mirpeses, even though it is low to the ground, at the same time, however, it's got a wall all the way around it. And the wall does have an opening. But the opening is not a breach, it's just an opening, meaning it's only 10 amos. And that opening now opens up into the mirpeses. And now that there's this mirpeset has its own wall around it, so under those circumstances, now we get to view the mirpeses and the members of the first floor as two separate entities. But the mirpeses now opens up into the same chatzer. Okay, good. That's why the daka is helpful, because the daka is basically saying that they don't plan on using that egress to go down into the chatzer, and so therefore they can exclude themselves from the chatzer. Fine. So what we did is we added a lot more details to the case. So the case is not just a simple case of the ladder being a connection point between one group and another group. And so it does not pose a difficulty to Rav Nachman. Okay, so where do we stand right now? Rav Nachman says that as far as a ladder is concerned, it can be viewed as a wall, it can be viewed as a Pesach. It is just simply a function of what is most beneficial. And despite the fact that the Gemara quoted a case that seems to contradict it, the Gemara says it doesn't, because of the many different details and circumstances that revolve that particular case. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmol Koso Sharasfa Besulamos. Rav Yehuda Mashmol is now going to speak more about this topic of the ladder. Let's say I have a wall, and the wall is basically flanked by ladders. Ladders are just contiguous, one right next to another, right up against the wall, right? Baruch Hashem, like my sukkah outside, so it's one fan followed by another fan followed by another fan, so it's a row of fans. So over here, same thing. It's a row of ladders against the wall. Now, and the amount of ladders in total, when you add up all the ladders together, you're talking about something greater than 10 amos. Now, if I have a breach in the wall that's greater than 10 amos, I no longer have a wall. Meaning now it's a pirzo. But over here, though, it's got ladders. So, Torah's mechitza alav. So now it's a mechitza. So again, this falls in line with what Rav Nachman said. It's basically the same point that Rav Nachman made. We don't have to look at a ladder like a Pesach. We could look at it like a Pesach, but if it serves, if it's beneficial to us. Over here, however, if we looked at it as a Pesach, because there's more than 10 amos of it, so therefore it would be a pirzo, it wouldn't be a Pesach. So therefore, the Rav Yehuda Mashmol over here, right in line with Rav Nachman, and that is that it's a mechitza. We're going to look at it as a mechitza because that's better for us. It serves us better. So here we're going to go over the same back and forth that we went just moments earlier. Rami le Rav Bruna le Rav Yehuda ben Matras de Bei Rav Chanina. While in the vineyard in the cellar of Rav Chanina, the following question was posed: Mi Amar Shmuel Taras Mechitza Lav Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, what about the case? The case that we just went over. So I'm going to go over quickly. So we have our balcony. We have the first floor. They both spill out into the same chatzir. The only way we could separate the two, the first floor and the second floor, is only if the small frame is built in front of the mirpeses. Under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, are they not viewed the same? Otherwise, they'd be viewed the same. Despite the fact that what's connecting them? A ladder. A ladder's connecting them. And the ladder is, by definition, viewed as a Pesach. So, same answer that we gave just moments earlier. We're talking about a case where the Merpeses is less than 10 Tfachim from the Chatzir. So, it is considered one and the same of the Chatzir. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's true, so then what is putting a small frame on the doorway going to help you? Meaning it's right there in the chatzir. It's less than 10 tefachim above the chatzir. So a frame is going to help you. So b'megufefes ad eser amos, dekemen de'ikadaki saluki salak me'acha. This merpeset had a wall going all the way around it. So therefore, making it its own separate entity. But there is a small steps, a couple steps that take you down to the chatzir. Yeah, so there's a frame put over there, and that frame over there is telling the world that we don't plan on going into that particular chatzir. Okay, good. All right, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion regarding ladders and how to view a ladder. And the Gemara's conclusion actually is very clear that when it comes to a ladder, we could view it as a Pesach. We could view it as a Mechitza. It depends on what how it serves us best, what would be most beneficial. The Gemara now tells the following story. Hanu b'nei kukuna'ai, the asal akami de Rav Yosef. So a community, a particular community, went over to Rav Yosef. So Amalei Havlan Gavra, de la'ar v'la ma'asan. And they needed a Rav Amachshir for the Eruv. So they wanted to make an Eruv Chatzirot for their community. And so they needed a Rav to come over, take a look, survey the community, and establish an Eruv for that community. Now, what was at issue over here, as Rashi over here points out, is that this city in question was an Irshol Rabin. Now, Rashi also adds the detail that it becomes a Nasat Shal Yachid. It becomes a private city, less than 600,000. Whatever the case is, the point is that it has the status of an Irshol Rabin, right? The grandfather clause only works in one direction, where it once was an Irshol Yachid and then becomes an Irshol Rabin. But once it started as an Irshol Rabin, it always has the status of an Irshol Rabin. And therefore, what? Therefore, you cannot make a singular Eruv for the entire community. You have to make an exclusion. So they needed somebody to come and survey the community and basically present a plan for an Eruv for this community. So Amalei Labai, so Rav Yosef deputizes his student Abaye, and he says, Zil Arev Luhu. Okay, good. Go out there. Make an Eruv. V'chazid lo matzvacha Allah beve medrasha. And I want it to be non-controversial. I don't want to step foot into the base medrash the next day and hear everyone piping up about this Eruv. I want it to be where you've answered every question before the Eruv is put up. And then I don't want to hear the Eruv went up, and then all of a sudden, people, right? I hear from him. He's wondering about that detail and that detail. Make it so that it's a non-controversial eruv. So azol chazal hanubate the psichel nahara. Okay. So here is now Abaye in this town. The members of the town of Kakunai, and he's now surveying the community. He wants to now make an eruv. It's an irshal rabim. He can't make one single eruv. People have to be excluded by definition. That's the only way the Eruv is going to work. And so now he sees a row of houses that are opened up to the river, meaning they're not facing the city, they're facing the other direction, they're facing the river. So Amar Hani Lahavishir Lamasa. And basically now the Gemara beautifully is going to take us through the entire thought process of Abaye, meaning Abaye is going to be having a back and forth with himself. But remember, his instructions were, make sure it's non-controversial. So he now in his own head is registering all the pushback that he could be receiving, and he's responding to the pushback. But this is not a conversation that occurred. This is just simply a conversation that he already is forecasting what happened, and so therefore he's going over the back and forth in his head. So he says, good. So these houses that are opened up and are facing the river, not facing the city, they're going to be serving as the shear. They're going to be the exclusion. They're the ones who are going to be excluded from the Eruv. And if you think about it, actually, it's a convenience, because anyway, these groups of houses are not facing the city. So they already are, to a certain degree, divided from the rest of the city. So they're not going to be that upset if they are the ones who are going to be excluded from the Eruv. They'll make their own Eruv, but it's not going to bother them so much that they're excluded from the Eruv. So Hada Amar, so now Abai says to himself, but wait 1 second. Ein ma'arvin is kula tanan, mechlal di ibai le'eruvei matzim ma'arvei. Wait 1 second. I can only exclude people. What is a good exclusion? Only those people that were eligible to be part of this Eruv. And now I'm wondering to myself, because this row of houses that face the river, are they even eligible to become part of the Eruv? If they're not eligible to become part of the Eruv, so then excluding them is not considered an exclusion. You can't exclude somebody who already is excluded. So the Gemara says, Ela ayave lekave, diibai la'arve derech chalonos, matzah ma'arve. So he says, okay, so what I'm going to do is the following. This row of houses that face the river, so I'm going to tell them that they're going to have to build windows into the other side of their houses that face the rest of the city. And now those windows are going to be considered psachim. They're going to be considered access points. And now, in theory, they could make an error with the rest of the city. And so now that they could, so then when I exclude them, that exclusion is going to be valid. So hada amar lo baye daharava baravua ma'arev. La lekula mechuza arsiasia arsiasia mishum pered de beiture. But then upon further consideration, he says it's not necessary, because I remember the incident in the town of Mechuza, where Rava Bar Ravua made an Eruv for the entire town of Mechuza, but he did so, he did it by division. In other words, he broke it up into the various sub-communities, and he made Eruvs for them. And the reason why is because Pera de Beiture. Now, this is the second time we're referencing the Eruv of Mechuza. The Eruv of Mechuza, so between the various communities in Mechuza, so these alleyways, and they were pits filled with pits, right? The pits of pits. In English, it's got wonderful alliteration. And that is that there was for the animals, they had basically storages for the animals, where they dug up these large pits, and they put in date pits into these pits in order to be used for animals. Anyway, these created natural boundaries for the various chatzeros within the town of Mechuza. And so therefore, what Rava Bar Ravua did is that he made separate Erevin for that community. Now, basically, how do you view this? So it's so interesting. So the way to view this is that, look, you cannot make a single error for the town of Mechuza. Why not? Because it's an Irshal Rabin. So, and because of the natural division that was created between the Chatzeros, so what Rava Bar Ravua did is that he just simply went with those natural borders that were created by the pits, and so therefore he made Eruvin for all the subdivisions there based on how they fell within the border, within those natural borders. And as far as an Irshal Rabim is concerned, no problem, because there are exclusions built in. What are the exclusions? The fact that there's more than one Eruv. In other words, but the idea that every subdivision has its own Eruv, they basically serve as the exclusion for all the other residents of the town of Mechuza. So the Afa gav di ibay le Eruve behadeyadad de lo matzei ma'arve. And look, over there, could they make a single Eruv? And the answer in Mechuza is no, they cannot. Since those pits of pits are serving as actual borders between the subdivisions, so they are not contiguous, they are not connected, and you can't make one single Eruv for everybody. So Abai says to himself, despite the fact that they're not eligible to make one Eruv for everybody, nevertheless, they can be viewed as exclusions one for the other. So now going back over here to this town, where he was deputized to make an Eruv for this town, so he's thinking, okay, same thing. Meaning this row of houses that don't face the other houses of the town, they can serve as the exclusion, even though they're not eligible to be made within the city. So Hada Amar Lo Dami Hasami by Leruve Derech Gagos Vahani Lom Arve Hilkach Na'avdin Kave. And then Abai reconsiders again, and Abai says, look, the town of Mechuza, so it's not true what I thought. Meaning I thought that they're not eligible to make an Eruv one with the other. It's simply not true. They are eligible to make Eruv one for the other, despite the fact that there are these large pits that are separating the subdivisions. But if you go to the roof, you can actually get from one subdivision to another subdivision within the town of Mechuza, and that's why they are connected, and that's why they are eligible to make one single Eruv for everybody. And the fact that they're subdivided, and there are multiple Eruvin over there, that's considered an exclusion, because there was eligibility to make a single Eruv for everyone. Hada Amar, we're not done yet. This is still now Abai, and I'm sorry, and therefore Abai says, so now we need eligibility here in this town. And so therefore I'm back to thinking that these houses that face the water, they're going to have to make windows in the other side of the house in order to create eligibility, so that therefore their exclusion is considered an exclusion. And how do Amar Kavinami lo Baya Dahu, Beitivne Dahavile Lamar Bar Pupidisa, Bipumpadisa, Vishav Yashir Lapumpadisa. And then he says, but wait, I'm gonna cite one more case study, and that is the town of Pumpadisa. So in the town of Pumpadisa, so it's an Irshal Rabin. You can't make a single error for the town of Pumpadisa. So what did they do? So they did make an exclusion. What was the exclusion? So it was a Beitivna. It was a house of straw. Meaning even though it was a non-residential home, that served as the exclusion. So if the non-residential home in Pumpadisa could be serving as an exclusion, so over here, these houses that are in the town of Kakunai, which is not facing the rest of the town, So, but by virtue of the fact that they're here, and in Pumbedisa, if I'm using a storehouse as an exclusion, I could for sure use these houses over here as an exclusion. Now, I know that was a lot of back and forth in Abaye's mind that we just went through over here. But now we're done. And he has therefore concluded that these houses are in fact going to be serving as the exclusion. And no, they're not going to have to make new construction in the houses, opening up the windows in order to create eligibility with the rest of the with the rest of the members of the community. So Amar Hainu Damar Limar Chazilil Mitzavcha Allah Bevei Midrasha. And now Abaye understood fully the instructions that were given to him by Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef told him, make sure that there's no controversy regarding this Eruv, and nobody's going to complain after you set up the Eruv. And as Tosos over here points out, what would have been the complaint? Complaint would have been very simple. Those rows of houses, if Abaye would have instructed them that they have to make windows on the side facing the rest of the city, and it turns out then that it was unnecessary, so then you can imagine you will have an entire group of people in that town that are going to be upset with Abaye, upset with Rav Yosef, because they demanded something halachically that was not actually required. And that would have been the complaint. But Abaye went through all the various scenarios in his head and all the various case studies in his head and arrived at the conclusion it wasn't necessary. Continuing the Gemara on Samach Amud Aleph, we are going to now wrap up the first sugya of this morning. Elim Kenasa Chusala Kir Chadasha. How big an exclusion does that have to be? It's near Shul Rabbim. You can't make a single area for everyone in the town. Good. We've established all this. How big an exclusion does it have to be? So if you go back to the Mishnah, it was a machlokas between Tanayim. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be 50 residents have to be excluded from the Eruv. Like the town of Chadasha. We'll talk more about that town in just a moment. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, the exclusion has to be 3 chatzeris, each one of them having 2 houses. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brice over here. Am Rabbi Yehuda Yerachas HaYisab Yehuda. There was a town in the province, in the territory of Yehuda. And the name of that town was actually Chadasha. V'chadasha Shma, V'hayubah, Gimel V'hayubah, Nun Diurim, Anashim V'nashim Atap. And there are 50 residents over there in that town. Ubayu Misharim Chachamim, V'yai Sashiur. And the Chachamim looked at that town and they said, that's it, perfect. That is the base minimum of what is considered a community, and so therefore that will serve as an exclusion. So you have this big city in Yerushal Rabbim, and because the Chachamim legislated you cannot make a single error for that town, so there has to be an exclusion. And what's the exclusion going to be? So they turned as the city of Chadasha as a model of what is considered small town. So in the event that any one of us think we live in a small town is a community of 50 people, total. So Ibailu Chadasha Mahu. So the Gemara says, now for the town of Chadasha, what's the story with the town of Chadasha? So the Gemara says, Chadasha ki hechi di'ihi hav yashir, legedola gedola nami hav yashir lekatana. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Right now the Gemara thinks that we're asking about Chadasha in a large town. Meaning, can they make a separate Eruv? And the answer, of course, is yes. Right. Well, the Gemara didn't fully understand the Maksha, the asker, was asking the question. But anyway, right now the Gemara is saying, of course, meaning if I have a very large city and I create an exclusion in that city, the size of the town of Chadasha, 50 residents, so then we're good. Meaning, just like the small 50 residents are serving as an exclusion for the remainder of the town, the bulk of the town, so the opposite is also true. For the city of Chadasha, the remainder of the town is for them their exclusion. So they both now are going to be making individual Erevin. And the Gemara says, no, that's not what we were asking. No, you have a town the size of Chadasha. So if the town is so small, 50 residents in the town, so now they're making an Eruv. So do they need an exclusion? And the truth of the matter is this question is a little bit difficult to process. You have a town so small, 50 residents, so most probably it's an Yerushal Yachid, it's not an Yerushal Rabbim. And Yerushal Yachid doesn't need an exclusion. So it's a most curious situation in which we have a town, a residence of 50 people, and yet it has a status of an Irshal Rabbim. And the way Rashi sets up an Irshal Rabbim, there's 600,000 people over here. We are quite short from 600,000 people. So admittedly, the question is difficult to grasp. Maybe the Gemara is asking just more from the more abstract level of, does it even require shear in theory? Maybe that's what the Gemara is asking. But anyway, Rav Hun of Rav Yehuda Chanamar Bai Shir, V'Chanamar Lo Bai Shir. And so it's a machlokas amarayim in terms of a town that's so small, it's only 50 residents. Does it require an exclusion? So the Gemara quotes the debate amongst amarayim between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. One says it does require an exclusion, the other one says it does not require exclusion. Continuing in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Amar Gimel Chatzeres V'chulei. The Gemara now is going to come to a psak in terms of how large an exclusion do we need. So Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav Alachik Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rab that the Alach is like Rabbi Shimon. The exclusion is going to be three Chatzeres, each Chatzer having two houses, minimum two houses. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Afilo B'Yisechel V'Chatzer Achas. So Rabbi Yitzchak says it could be one. It could be one house. It could be one Chatzer. Now the Gemara at first thinks that there are two separate points. Chatzer, achas, agadatcha. What do you mean? Just a single chatzer by itself? It's just a courtyard. And over here we need exclusion of people. So ela'ema ba'isecha b'chatzer achas. So quick clarification. What Rabbi Yitzchak meant is that one chatzer with one house, that's all the exclusion you need. Now that's very interesting because whose opinion is that? The answer is nobody. It's not Rabbi Shimon's opinion. It's not Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says 50 residents. Rabbi Shimon says three chatzeres, each chatzer having two houses. So this opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, it's the most curious position because it doesn't follow a single Tana. So Amalei Abba Rabbi Yosef, how do Rabbi Yitzchak Gemara Svara? So Abai says to Rabbi Yosef, now, this what that which Rabbi Yitzchak said, is that is he saying that because he has a tradition, it's the Mesorah, that's Gemara, or Svara? Or is he just simply thinking independently? And based on his independent thinking, he arrived at the conclusion that this is a reasonable position. So Amalei Ma Nafkalach Mina, he says, well, what difference is it? So Amalei Gamar Gamar Zemurta Tehei. So we heard this a couple of times throughout Shas. We get to hear it again today. And Abai says to Rav Yosef, what do you mean? We're not singing right now. This is not lyrics to a song. Meaning this requires understanding. And I need to know. You're citing an opinion. Is the opinion based on a Masara? Is the opinion just based on his own deduction? It's not. This is the point of Torah is to try to understand it to our best of our ability. And over here, just to spit out an opinion without providing any background, whether it's a Masorah, whether it's a deduction, we're not singing songs over here. It's certainly interesting, by the way, because in terms of the give and take that we just went through, so this is Abai talking to Rav Yosef. Abai is a Talmud. Rav Yosef's the Rebbe. So it's certainly interesting, curious, that this is the way Abai is talking to Rav Yosef, as if Rav Yosef didn't know this. Okay, so I'll mention it, but then I'll quickly run away from that point. But anyway, the Gemara's conclusion is that we do pass on like Rabbi Shimon. There is this opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak that the Gemara quoted. And truth of the matter is, we're not gonna go any deeper. But there are Rishonim who do pass on like this Rabbi Yitzchak. Then exclusion only needs to be a single courtyard with a single house attached to that single courtyard. But anyway, but the pashtus of the Gemara is that we do pass on like Rabbi Shimon. Then exclusion is three courtyards, two houses to each of the courtyards. Okay, and Adkan. It takes us now through what was a pretty long detour, right? A side discussion of Eruv Echaseres here in the fifth parak. It's still on topic of Eruvin, but it's not Eruv Tchom, it's Eruv Chaseros. And this discussion really belonged in a different location here in Eruvin. And again, not perfectly clear why it came up over here in the middle of the fifth parak, but we are done. And perhaps just as one more endpoint to this discussion, perhaps you're curious at this point in time. So we have many cities with many Erevin and certainly out-of-town communities. Although the truth of the matter is even the tri-state area. So it's one Erev. It's one Erev for the whole community. And you would venture a guess that these communities are considered Yerushal Rabbim, meaning if to give a status to these communities, they were not Irshal Yachid that becomes an Irshal Rabbim, although by some out-of-town communities, I guess you could say that, but it's not an Irshal Yachid that turned into an Irshal Rabbim, but the Irshal Rabbim. And because they're Irshal Rabbim, so we just learned together, and between yesterday's daf and today's daf, that you cannot make a single Erev, and by definition, you need an exclusion. In other words, there has to be cornered off a separate Erev for a group of people living within this community. And you'll notice that you never hear such a thing. Right, you never heard of right here in Boca Raton. You never heard of because of this halacha, because of Erevin, Daf Nentes and Daf Samech. So therefore, you people over here are going to have to make your own separate Erev because of this halacha that we just learned that there has to be a shear, there has to be an exclusion, and it's you don't hear about it anywhere. Nobody subscribes to that. Already back in Europe, the question was asked because nobody subscribed to this idea that exclusion had to be built in. And it requires explanation. And just, I'm raising the question. I'm not giving the explanation. I'm not giving the answers that are proposed. But certainly, though, it's I hope you're wondering. This Gemara seems to be on the books, but not put into practice. And it certainly requires an explanation. Okay. We are on Samach Amud Aleph. We are now continuing. We're in the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. And we are now heading back to Erev Truman here, finishing up the fifth parak. We have our sugya over here, and we have another sugya after that coming up in tomorrow's daf, and that's it. And we conclude, and we will be concluding, God willing, the fifth parak of Erevin. Misha Yabe Mizrach V'Amar Liv Noah. So, person's to the east, and presumably, when we say to the east, it means he's out in the field, and Shabbos is coming, and he turns to his son in V'Amar Liv Noah Arav Li B'Marav. So he says, "Do me a favor here. You're going to make an Erev for me on the west." Or the Mishnah just gives us the mirror image where he's on the west and he wants the Erev to work towards the east. So im yeshemenu leveso apayim ama uleiruva yoser mikan mutal veso vasaleiruva. So let's say now is as follows. So his son went far out there. His son went past his home and made an Erev for him. But the son went so far out there that where the son put down the Erev was more exceeded 2,000 amos from where he currently is. However, from where he currently is, however, is his home. So now what happens? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you what happens. So his home now is going to acquire for him his Makom Shvisa, and the Erev, which is just simply too far out there, is not going to serve as his Makom Shvisa. Now, Le'eruva Alpayim Ama, Ulaveso Yoser Mikan, Asa Leveso Mota Le'eruva. And then the Mishnah gives us another scenario, which seems impossible, which is that let's say the Erev that he sent out was, let's say, within 2,000 amos, but his house is not within 2,000 amos, so then the Erev is going to serve as his Makom Shvisa, and the house is not going to serve as a Makom Shvisa. Now, over here, it seems like this case over here is impossible, because presumably, by definition, the house is going to be closer than the Erev, meaning what he did is he sent his kid far out there, meaning past his home and in the other direction. So by definition, his home is going to be closer to him than his Erev. How exactly is this case going to be working over here, where he finds himself to be closer to his Erev than he is to his home? So the Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to answer that question. So we'll wait till the Gemara to try to figure out this case over here. Okay, Rashi over here points out the following. What did we just learn together? The person wanted to establish a new Makom Shvisa. So he sent the Erev with the son, and he sent his son out there. And we learned together that if his son went too far out there, more than 2,000 amos from where he currently is, so that's not going to work. And then what's going to happen is that as long as he's within proximity of his home, so his home now becomes his Makom Shvisa, even though that wasn't his intention. Rashi says, now, you remember what we learned earlier? The person was coming back from a long trip, and he tried to throw his Erev forward, and he was unsuccessful in doing so. So what now becomes? He doesn't have a Makom Shvisa at all. Since he forfeited his current location, and since he failed on the distant location, so therefore he has no Makom Shvisa whatsoever. Over here, in our case over here, why doesn't it follow the same line of reasoning? Why isn't he forfeiting his home? So Rashi asks that question, and Rashi answers right here in the Mishnah. And Rashi answers the cases are not comparable. Because in the case when you're coming home and you literally are, you're not grounded, well, I mean, you're standing on the ground, but you don't have any Makom Shvisa, and you're forfeiting your current location, which is not an established residence, and you're trying to move it forward, and you failed on both, so you fail on both, and you're not going to get either, and you don't have any Makom Shvisa whatsoever, and you're confined to four amos for the remainder of Shabbos. Over here, however, because he failed on the Erev that he gave to his son, because his son went too far, but because he's been in proximity with his home, and his home is already an established residence, so in the absence of any other Makom Shvisa, you do get your home. Because your home is your established residence. So Rashi says that's why over here, because since he failed on the Erev, but because he's within proximity of his home reestablishes him as his Makom Shvisa, even though that's not where he wanted to be. But in the absence of anything else, he gets his home. Okay. Continuing in the Mishnah, I notice in this Eruva, be Ibur shall ear loss of a loklum. Now you put your Erev out there, but right outside the city, it's within the Ibur of the city. It's within 70 amos and 2/3 of the city. So that's nothing, meaning you're still part and parcel of the city. Now it's the chutz l'tchum. If you put it outside of tchum, now the Gemara is going to clean up the language of the Mishnah, because it right now it sounds a little funny. You put your eruv outside of tchum, afilo ama achas, even one ama, so mashenisker hu mafsid. So, like we said many times, but here the Mishnah says it outright, and that is, eruvin is a zero-sum game, meaning whatever I gain in one direction, I lose in the other direction. All I'm doing with eruv tchum is I'm reestablishing my makom shlis and my point of center. So if I move my point of center over one ama, so I gain in one direction one ama, but I lose in the other direction one ama. Good. What makes the Mishnah, the Mishnah needs cleanup, because the Mishnah over here says, where did I put my eruv? Chutz l'tchum, I put it outside of my tchum where I currently am right now. If I put it outside of tchum where I currently am right now, so the eruv is no good. It was inaccessible during Ben Hashmashos. So fine. So we're gonna the Gemara is gonna touch up the language of the Mishnah a little bit. Anyway, we start with the Gemara. Kasalka dacha lemizrach lemizrach beso lamarav beso. So when we went over that first case in the Mishnah where he sent his eruv with his son, so we thought that the point of reference was his home. And so what that means to say is that he was west of his home. He sent his son with his eruv to the east of his house. And then the Mishnah entertains two scenarios. One, in which his home is closer to him than his eruv is. And then the second scenario is that he's closer to his eruv than he is his home. That second scenario is impossible. The Gemara is going to ask that question right now. So Bishlam Ahiman la Basil Apaim Amale Ruva Yosemikan Mishkachala, Demati la Basil Vlamatile Ruvo. So I certainly understand how he can make it home, but he can't make it to his Eruv. Good. But Ella Himenula Eruvo Apaim Amala Baso Yesemikan Hechi Mishkachala. But how could he possibly be closer to his Eruv than he is to his home? If he is now west of his house and he sent his son with his Eruv to the east of his house, so by definition, he's going to be closer to his home than to his Eruv. How can the Mishnah even entertain a situation where he's closer to his Eruv than he is to his home? Okay, good. It's a strong question. It demands an answer. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Misvaras Lemizrach Lemizrach Beso Lamarav Lamarav Beso Lo Lemizrach Lemizrach Beno Lamarav Lamarav Beno. So the first answer of the Gemara is that, look, the Gemara didn't say what the point of reference was. We assumed the point of reference was his home. But the Gemara says, no, the point of reference was his son. Meaning, he sent his son with the Eruv, and the son was to the east and west, not of his home, but to the east and west of the where his son is. Fine. So now, you have room to negotiate. Meaning, it could be that the Eruv is farther away than his house. It could be that the Eruv is closer than his house. Fine. So we just changed the point of reference. That's one approach. Rava Barshila Amar Afilo Tema Lemizrach Lemizrach Beso Lamarav Lamarav Beso. And the second answer of the Gemara, Rava Barshila says that no, the point of reference is really the home, but it's still possible, still feasible. Kigon Dekai Beisei Balachsona, and that is that we're not talking about a straight line like we assume, but rather we are talking about a diagonal. You can see right on the side of the Gemara over here, Rashi. Rashi depicts the following picture, where basically now he is to the east of his home. But he's not in due east to his home. He's southeast of his house. And what he did is he sent his son with the Eruv. And now it could very well be that he's going to be closer to his Eruv because his Eruv is a straight line from where he is. But his home is at a diagonal. So that means that he could be within 2,000 amas of his Eruv. And on top of that, he could also be greater than 2,000 amas because that's the hypotenuse to his home. Okay, so that's another way to speak out the Mishnah. And that's how it's feasible, it's possible to be closer to your Eruv than you are actually to your home. Hanosin Eruva Besoch Ibura. So Chutz L'Tchum Sakadatcha. Here at the Gemara now is just cleaning up the language of the Mishnah, where he put his Eruv outside of Tchum. So Ela Ema Chutz L'Ibura. So the Gemara says, right, that's not what the Mishnah meant. What the Mishnah meant was, is that he put it outside the Ibur of the city, meaning that he simply put it now in new territory. That is not where he established his residence. He established his residence in the city. The moment it goes out of the... Now, the Mishnah said the word tchum, but that's not what the Mishnah meant. And the Gemara here clarifies. The Mishnah just simply means he put it outside the Iber of the city, which means now that he's going to be gaining in one direction. So good. So when you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. Right? That's the very nature of an Eruv. Masha Nisker Umafsid. So Masha Nisker Vesula Vatanya. Now, the Gemara over here is going to treat us to a halacha that we touched on earlier in the Masechta, but here the Gemara is going to really speak it out. And that is as follows. Let's start off with something that we all know. When you're in a city, when you start Shabbos off in a city, so as far as your as far as your tchum goes, tchum doesn't start counting until you leave the city. Meaning the entire city for you is considered not even the beginning of tchum, right? And it doesn't matter how large the city is. The city to you is all badal amos. And so therefore, it's only when you step foot out of town, then and only then, is your tchum count begin. Good. Now, what if your makom shisa starts outside of a town? How do we then regard the town? Do we then regard the town as dala amos? So here we're going to be discussing it and really clarifying what the halacha becomes when you're not in the town. You didn't start in the town, but rather you started outside the town. How is the town viewed vis-a-vis your makom shvisa? I'm sorry, vis-a-vis your tchum. So of a hatanya, I noticed in Eruv b'sochi b'roshal ir lo'asa v'lo klum. Now, if you put your Eruv in the Iber of the city, so that's nothing. It's like putting the Eruv in the city itself, which is totally insignificant. Nasnu chutzli ibur shol ir afilo ama achas mistakir osa ama umafse is called ir kula mimnei shemidas ir olalo b'midas atchum. So here in this brisa, what happens now once you move your makom shvisa just one ama away from the town? So what now happens is that a town that originally was to you nothing in terms of tchum, now we have to take into account the entire town vis-a-vis tchum. Meaning to say that prior to you putting down your makom shvisa, you had the ability to walk around all around town, and it didn't count not one ama towards your tchum. But now that the makom shvisa is outside the town, so now looking back to the town, every ama of the town is now an ama towards your tchum. And if the city is greater than 2,000 amas, so basically now your tchum into the city can only go into wherever 2,000 amas takes you, and that's it. And that's it. Now the Gemara is bothered because in our Mishnah you didn't get that impression. In our Mishnah the impression is that you gain an ama in one direction, you lost but one ama in the other direction. Here in the Braisa, the losses are much more serious because you're basically now going to have to count your steps as you walk through the city. So lo kasha, kan shekalta midasa bechatzi ha'ir, kan shekalta midasa besof ha'ir. So the Gemara says, here is the difference. And it's not necessarily intuitive, but the Gemara says it is absolutely correct. And that is that when you move your makom shvisa outside of town, and now you're looking back at town, if you're able to now go through the entire town and walk to the other side of town, meaning it's a small town, and so 2,000 amas takes you through the entire town and to the other side of town, so then we could still regard town as just but dalet amos. And so therefore, your Erev now has gained you one ama in one direction, but has lost you an ama in the other direction, like our Mishnah describes. However, if let's say after establishing a makom shvisa just one ama out of town, but it's a very large town, and now by walking through the town, 2,000 amas stops you right somewhere in the middle of town. It doesn't matter where in the middle of town, but stops you in the middle of town, so that's it. You're done. Meaning your tchum now effectively has stopped you right in the middle of town. So now your losses are quite significant. Because if you didn't set up your new makom shvisa, and if you started Shabbos in town, you can walk 2,000 amas in one direction outside of town, and 2,000 amas in another direction outside of town. So, but now that you set up this new makom shvisa, and because your tchum now going back into town actually does not take you all the way to the end of town, so that's it. Your tchum is going to stop right in the middle of town. So you've now lost all ability to move, to walk anywhere to the other side of town. And it goes without saying that you can't walk past town as well. So that is the difference. And the Gemara says, and this difference is pronounced. Uchad Rav Idi, Amar Rav Idi, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi. This is already told over by Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Haya modid uva bekalta midas v'chatzayir, ein lo ela chatzayir. If your tchum, it gets you halfway through a city, that's it. So then you have to stop halfway through the city. And kalta midas v'sof ha'ir, nasis lo ha'ir, kula kedala amos. Umashlimim lo es ha'shar. However, if your tchum allows you to traverse through the entire city, i.e. it's a really small city, so then the city can be regarded only as Dala Amos, and so therefore you just simply will count Dala Amos, the town is just Dala Amos, and then you get to the other side of the town, and now you could walk whatever the balance allows you to walk, right? Just to put this in a practical example, so let's say you move your makom shvisa just one ama out of town, and now you turn back on Shabbos and you walk through town, and let's say the town is, let's say, for example, 1,500 amas. So that means to say now that your tchum allowed you to walk to the other end of town. So now those 1,500 amas of the town are viewed simply as 4 amas. So let's say now, so that's 1 amma to get into town, another 4 amas of what town is regarded, and now you're allowed to walk approximately another 500 amas, 496 to be slightly more accurate. But anyway, good. So that is the halacha that's set over by Rav Yeshua Malevi, and that explains the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah is talking about where your tchum allowed you to walk through the entirety of town, thereby regarding the town only as 4 amos, so you didn't lose as much. On the other hand, the Braisa was talking about where once you set up your new Makam Shvisa, the tchum didn't take you all the way to the other side of town. It only took you into the town, and that's it. You're stuck now only being able to walk into the area of the town. Your losses are going to be much greater because you can't now walk to the other side of town, and it goes without saying you can't walk beyond the other side of town. Amar Rav Idi, when Rav Idi hears this halacha Rav Yishur Malevi, so ein elu ela divrei nevias. So mali kalta bechatzir, mali kalta besofair. He says this is prophetic, right? This distinction that we just made, where tchum is able to take you through the end of town, tchum stops you in the middle of town. This massive distinction that we just made in terms of how to regard the town based on where tchum is able to get you. He says it's a prophetic statement. Now, he meant this as a positive statement, or is he meant it as a negative statement? So Tosfos here has an extraordinarily lengthy discussion in terms of the tone of that statement. Did he mean that as a positive or as a negative? Tosfos' conclusion over here, by the way, is that he meant it as a positive statement. But that's not always true, right? This expression, Ein zu ela divrei nevius, comes up a number of times throughout Shas. Tosfos over here acknowledges it's not always have a positive tone to it, but over here it does have a positive tone to it. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the daf. Let's quickly review. We finished our discussion regarding Eruvei Chatzeros, right? A discussion seemingly misplaced, put over here in the fifth parak of Erevin, but when you have an Irshel Rabin, when you have a public city, a city of more than 600,000 people, so when making an Eruv, so you have to make an exclusion within the Eruv. That's what we were introduced to in the Mishnah, and the Gemara finished up the discussion. This morning we talked about ladders, in terms of how to view a ladder. Do we view it as a Pesach or do we view it as a Mechitza? The answer of the Gemara is that it depends on what is more beneficial and what serves us better. That is a really short summary of a long piece of Gemara. Then the Gemara told the story of Rav Yosef deputizing his student Abaye to make an Eruv for the members of the town of Kakunai. And over there in that town, it was an Irshel Rabim. And so an exclusion had to be made. And a lengthy back and forth that took place in the mind of Abaye, which the Gemara went over for us, in terms of how exactly he was going to set up that shiur, that exclusion, within that town, using precedents of the town of Mechuza and the town of Pumpadisa. Okay. Then the Gemara paskin the halacha, in terms of how big an exclusion does one need to make it with Macholkes of Tanayim. The Gemara paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And then the Gemara introduced us to another opinion, which the Gemara itself was unclear as to whether or not that was it, so that had a Mesorah, or he was just saying it based on reasoning. Okay. We came back to our discussion regarding Erev Tchum. The person was out in the field. He wanted to set up a Makom Shvisa for Shabbos. He sent an Erev Tchum with his son to set it up. And now, if he can walk to within his home during Ben Hashmashos, but not to his Erev, his home is his Makom Shvisa. If he could walk to his Erev and not to his home, his Erev now is going to be serving as his Makom Shvisa. When moving your Makom Shvisa out of town, so then what happens regarding your Tchum? So the Mishnah said that whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. On the Gemara and the Amud Beis, first of all, we asked the question, how could it possibly be that if you sent your son in one direction and you sent him further out to set up an Erev, how could it possibly be that you're going to end up being closer to your Erev than to your house? Okay, the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara gave two answers to that question. As far as the language of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talked about setting up your Erev outside of town, it said outside of Tchum, but the Gemara quickly clarified it didn't mean outside of Tchum, it just simply meant outside of the Eber of the town. In terms of whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction, so we learned together at the end of the daf today, that's not always true. Because if your Tchum now only affords you the ability to walk back into town, but it doesn't take you all the way to the other end of town, every step in the town counts towards your Tchum. If, on the other hand, your tchum allows you to walk through the entirety of the town, so then the town over there is regarded as Dal Amos. That distinction, that fine distinction that was made by Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and Rav Edi described it as Divrei Nevi'os, words of prophecy. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow on the bottom of the Amud.